And welcome to episode 8 of Oblique Outlook, where we get real about people of color in genre media. I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Sean.
And you can find us at a-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com. But before we tell you the other places you can find us at, we want to remind you of our spoiler policy, and it's going to come in handy a lot this episode because we're going to be spoiling a whole bunch of stuff. Our spoiler policy, again, is that we don't have one. We know other people are really sensitive about spoilers, and we try to let you know as soon as possible that we are going to spoil stuff. So spoilers for the season finale of Almost Human, spoilers for recent episodes of Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and spoilers for Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. Also spoilers for Thor, The Dark World.
You can blame Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for that last one.
Yeah. Who knows what else? There might be some other spoilers along the way. So just spoil, spoil, spoil. You may be spoiled.
Spoilers!
All right. So again, you can find us on the web at a-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/bleakoutlook. On Twitter, we're at a-bleakoutlook, all one word. And on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So, just to get to the feedback that we've gotten, thanks so much for the people who have liked or reblogged the podcast post on Tumblr. And thanks to our new followers. Our newest one is A Little Shooting Star. So thank you for following the blog on Tumblr. To the people who liked or reblogged our Episode 7 podcast post, thanks to Mr. Del Fuego, Io, Snarkbender, Artistic Kachi, Katie Allison, Miles Wren, France Fandom, I want to say France Fandom, but I don't know if that's right, Source Dumal, and Pen and Pocket Knife. So thank you for spreading the word and liking podcast. So now we'll get to our genre news and notes, and we've got a lot of them, so buckle up. First one is that pictures have been going around about the new Flash costume, which, you know, doesn't seem to look much different from costumes that you've seen in comic books or in animated series that the Flash.
There's not much you can really do with the Flash costume. We expect it to be red. We expect a lightning bolt. We expect your face to be covered. Unless, of course, you're Jay Garrick and expect a pit helmet, you know. So I think the only difference is they made it out of leather and it looks like leather. And a lot of fans were like, well, it makes no sense since he's going super fast. And the old Flash show actually gave the excuse that it was made from some high-tech polymer, I believe.
Well, it looks like there's fabric in most places, but there's leather like gauntlets or something like that around the wrists, and maybe leather gloves. But even those, the gloves don't look leather. There seems to be some sort of fabric around the shoulders and the forearms and stuff like that, but I don't know. Anyways, the costume was designed by Colleen Atwood, who's won 3 Oscars for her costume design, for Chicago, for Memoirs of a Geisha, and Alice in Wonderland. So you would think, you know, she's qualified and knows what she's doing. I don't think the fanboys will get too upset about this costume.
No.
So it's just something to get you excited for the series, I suppose.
They have other things to be upset about.
Yeah. So, well, some of them. anyway. In other fan news, Lupita Nyong'o, who just won an Oscar, congratulations to her, may get a role in the new J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie. I read that she just met with him over that, and also she may be cast in the movie adaptation of Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Oh.
So she will definitely be following up her Oscar win with some very interesting and possibly meaty roles. So
I'm wishing a long and prosperous career for her.
She is just brilliant. She's just absolutely brilliant. But as far as the Star Wars role, they're not sure if the character will be a descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi or if she'll be a Sith. So either way, it's going to be very,
yeah,
very exciting.
I mean, I'm more, strangely enough, I'm kind of hoping for a Sith, but the problem is the Sith tend to die too fast.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, come on. She'll be
in all kind of weird garish makeup, and I don't know if I'm feeling that, but
well,
it would probably be more interesting to have her play a bad guy.
Yeah, I think so. But the other problem is, you know, it always also comes down, well, JJ's directing, so maybe I won't be too upset.
Well, we shall see. And speaking of women getting roles in sci-fi action flicks, Scarlett Johansson's announcement of her pregnancy may affect her roles in Avengers 2 and the Black Widow movie that's in development. Especially if you know Joss Whedon's history with actresses. You're like, congratulations to Scarlett, you know, congratulations.
Giving side eye to Joss saying, don't you do what you did to Charisma.
It's very worrying. I mean, you shouldn't feel worried, but if you have any real knowledge of what went on on Angel the series, then you're really worried, so... You know, happy, healthy pregnancy, and we'll see.
If I recall, she said everything's still going as scheduled right now. So, how far along is she?
I don't know, but I think she'll be showing right, you know, as filming starts or something. So,
I think they started filming the second Avengers movie already, or they're starting very soon, like in the next few weeks. So who knows? I hope, I pray, because after
this is all the excuse that they're gonna need to just be like, see, this is why we should never do a women-centered superhero story, because they'll just go and get pregnant, and oh my gosh, this is,
and then the patriarchy rains down.
So
Joss Whedon, now I'm starting to feel sick.
See like I said, happy, healthy pregnancy, and I hope that
I pray her contract is ironclad, so she can pretty much be like, no.
Anyway, Naomi Harris is set to play opposite Ewan McGregor in a spy thriller called Our Kind of Traitor. She's going to play the female lead who's married to Ewan McGregor's character, and they get caught up in a whole bunch of international intrigue and finally get called in by British intelligence. So, rounding out the cast will be Stellan Skarsgård, who was also in Thor and Thor the Dark World, Damian Lewis, who's, I guess, in Homeland, and Mark Gatiss, who's in Sherlock and other things.
That movie is probably going to be really good, because it's based off of John Le Carré, who is also, you know, he did an old... he did the BBC adaptation for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy back in 1979. And a lot of his books are really Cold War era, you know, really good spy stuff, so I think this one will be really good if you like spy stuff. And if you don't like spy stuff and you just like Naomi, hey, that's a double win.
Well, I mean, she was just in Skyfall, so how can you not like Naomi and spy stuff? should be interesting. And good news for you. You mentioned Renee Montoya in the last episode, and she's been cast in the new Gotham series. So I think this show is really going to be like Gotham Central on TV, which is what I've been praying for years. This is really going toward like a Gotham Central type feel.
Only drawback, and I will say this, and this is the fan in me, and I like continuity. You know, respect your source material. That should be the first thing you put on your, first thing when you do stuff like this. The problem is Bruce being a kid, and it looks like the person they picked out for Catwoman is an adult.
And Gordon's going to be really young, too. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, Bruce is a kid. Like, how old is he? I think he's supposed to be not 12. So,
well, that makes sense if they're making Gordon to be somebody in their like late 20s, early 30s.
Yes, but Catwoman, as in Selina Kyle, is an adult. You get what I'm getting at here?
I don't. They better not go there. That's disgusting.
They probably won't go there. In other words, they're changing the continuity and not respecting the source material totally. But you know what, Renee Montoya, I think I could deal with that. Renee makes me a happier person. I'd be very happy to see Renee in the show. So
they may have somebody else who decides to be Batman or some other caped hero or something. I don't know.
It'd be interesting if they decide to. Well, yeah, they could do some mashup. There's so many ways they could play it, and that's the thing. Because if you ever watched a Batman anime series, Bruce is there's so many different mythos with Batman. You know, it's like Zorro was his inspiration. But also in the Batman animated series, it was the Red Avenger, or I forget what his name was, who was actually voiced by Adam West, the Batman from the original Batman TV show. So there's so many ways they can play it.
But yeah, so we've got her name Montoya, and this is exciting. So maybe we'll have a Kate Kane too. This could be, anyway. Or maybe this will be pre-Kate Kane, but
who knows?
Maybe Kate will be in the background somebody. If we see a redhead in pool halls or something like that, I'm totally claiming her as Kate Kane. Anyway, moving on to our next piece of news, Aaron Ragruder is going to be producing a show called Black Jesus. While he's working on season 4 of the Boondocks, so that's coming too for people who are fans of that show.
What was that? April? I forget the date. I know it's April.
Anyway, Black Jesus is going to be a live action half hour scripted comedy where Jesus lives in Compton in the present day, trying to spread kindness and love. And he's got some disciples.
Oh, man.
Played by John Witherspoon and Charlie Murphy and a whole bunch of other people. And this, there is so much hilarity that will surely ensue. There used to be a video series on YouTube called Black Jesus, but it had a whole bunch of cussing and wild stuff on there. I think they had Jesus smoking weed and stuff like that and drinking.
Hey,
we're gonna put that on here.
Come on. What's did they say? Which network?
I don't know.
Because Boondocks. There's Boondocks, and then there's Boondocks when you look at the DVDs.
Well, if they have it on a network, then I don't think we're gonna have the same things that we saw on that YouTube series. But I wonder if it's based off of that YouTube series. So, in other news of people producing new shows, Will Smith is going to produce a film version of the new graphic novel Harlem Hellfighters, Sony Pictures bought the rights to Max Brooks's graphic novel, The Harlem Hellfighters. The novel hasn't even been released yet. It's going to be out April 1st.
You know why that is, too, don't you?
Why is it?
Max Brooks did World War Z.
Oh, so this isn't a black guy?
No, I don't think he's a black guy. I actually don't know. I've never even seen a picture. I remember one of his books, which was Zombie Survive, How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse, or the Zombie Apocalypse Survival Guide. It was very well done, actually. Yeah, don't ask. But he is the guy who wrote World War Z, which, of course, they turned into that movie. That's one of the reasons why it's such an advanced acquisition for them, I believe.
So, the story of the Harlem Hellfighters is based on the 369th Infantry Regiment of the U.S. Army. They fought in World Wars I and II. They were also the first black regiment to serve in the American Regimentary Force during World War I. The Harlem Hellfighters was one of their nicknames, but another one was the Black Rattlers. So, should be interesting. Kind of picking up where we'll see if this one's better than Red Tails or the other movies that have been made about black soldiers. So, we'll see how it goes. More Constantine news. The executive producer says the show is going to be more close to the source material than the movie. Well, that goes without saying. I mean, you can't help but. I'm wondering if Goyer's saying, you know, firing all these shots at the movie because he didn't write the movie. Usually he writes movies like these. You know, he wrote the Blade movies and I think he wrote the first Batman. The first, like, Batman, he had a part in Batman Begins or something like that.
Okay.
But anyways, he's the writer and the executive producer for the Constantine TV show. And he says, quote, he, meaning Constantine, will have his signature trench coat and skinny tie. I would say that the show clings more closely to the source material than the film did, even though the film was interesting.
The film was interesting. I mean, okay, I liked the Constantine movie. It was good, but it was not, again, source material respect. You know, there was just too many variables. And I was a very big Hellblazer fan, so, you know. Yeah. So I kind of agree. I agree with Goyer. I do. You should stick to, you know.
Says he also says that many characters from the comics, from the Constantine comics, and from the greater DC universe will show up, you know, if the show goes further, goes forward. So just to remind you, Matt Ryan was cast as Constantine, and the greater cast includes Harold Perrineau from Oz and Lost and all that stuff. Charles Halford, who played Agent Shaw on a recent episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Lucy Griffiths, who was on True Blood, played, what's his name's sister?
Eric's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and, you know, just some more follow-up on stuff we talked about in the last episode. We talked about the backlash to Michael B. Jordan being cast as the Human Torch. He says that it was expected.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, you kind of know going into it that people are used to seeing something one way. It's a continuity thing more than anything. People don't like change too much, but annoyed? You just kind of accept it. It is what it is. End quote. See, that's why I'm kind of like screw continuity because, I mean, if you look at DC and Marvel, their continuity has already been screwed by so many different ways. There's so many different continuities and universes and stuff. So I'm like, well, whatever. It doesn't always have to fit continuity.
There are
And
ways around it.
people who get, so annoyed by things like recasting and all this kind of stuff and minor changes to people's costumes. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, hey, do what you want to do, but I'm not gonna let that get uptight, especially when it gets in the way of POCs getting checks.
See, that's something we can agree on right there. See, that last thing definitely. I mean, honestly, I don't get upset about costumes so much. Okay, that's not true. There are certain costumes that just don't make any sense. I won't talk about Wonder Woman and Justice League War. But some costumes make sense, some costumes don't. Some costumes never made sense in the comic book, to be honest with you. Huntress's abdominal window won't go there.
Power Girl's boob window.
That's another thing, and I had to have a long conversation with somebody about that a long time ago, and they actually made me understand it. And it was a woman, actually. I was kind of shocked when I think about it. The fact is that, but anyway, yeah, but it still makes no sense.
So Jordan goes on to say, quote, "The Human Torch is, that's fun. That's going to be a good time. To play a superhero? That's dreams coming true. It's not going to be hard. It's going to be fun to kind of show a side of me that I don't really get to show on screen. To be a little bit lighter, funnier, just more personality," end quote. So yeah, coming from Fruitvale Station to Human Torch, yeah, that's going to be a hell of a lot lighter.
Everybody should watch Chronicle because Michael B. Jordan is like the high point in that movie, in my book. He is the best character in the movie. He is, in a lot of ways, it's the same kind of thing. He is the kind of fun, the caring character.
Didn't see Die Early.
Yeah, he does. He dies. Not too early. Not too early. Not too early. He dies. It's a turning point in the movie when he does die. But it is a good movie, and it was actually the strange thing about that, and I'm surprised you've never seen it. It was an independent movie. The budget on it was really low, but it is so good, and the quality is really good. The story is really good. But yeah, you should watch it. Everybody should watch it. I will totally push that movie because it is a favorite of mine. It isn't like my top 10 movies at this point. And Michael B. Jordan, it's pretty awesome in some respects.
So, I didn't know about this until recently. Amazon Kindle has a licensed fanfic program. It's called Kindle Worlds. So actually, you can actually write fanfic for certain properties. There's only a small list of properties that you can write fanfic about and sell it. I mean, you're not selling it for very much. You probably and once Amazon takes their cut, you're probably getting just chump change. But I did not know that they had started this until recently. So it's called Kindle Worlds. You can find it at www.amazon.com/KindleWorlds, and other people are using it to get back control of properties that they originated. The author of The Vampire Diaries is using this Kindle Worlds program to continue writing in that series after, I guess, the CW or whatever, whoever, took that away from her.
Yeah, I didn't know that she had lost the rights to it, and we were kind of floored because that was a house thing. I was reading it out loud, and I was like, really? How the hell did they work their contracts if she lost her rights?
I don't know, but she's trying to reclaim it somehow through this fanfic program. So it's kind of, well, we'll see how that goes for her. Maybe she'll make a little bit of change from that. But so if people are interested in checking out that Kindle Worlds program and seeing if they can make some money off their fanfic, go to amazon.com/KindleWorlds, but definitely read the fine print because there's probably a whole bunch of restrictions, and see what's going on there. So, and you're going to need the World Wide Web in order to access Kindle Worlds. And on here, we're going to say, on this episode, we're going to say happy birthday to the World Wide Web. So, it's 25 years old. I think, it had its official birthday maybe earlier last week. The World Wide Web is different from the internet as we know it. The internet is all of the computers and servers that support our online experience, and the World Wide Web is how we access the internet through browsers. So the creator of the World Wide Web is Sir Tim Berners-Lee, and he on the 25th birthday he wants to make sure that the internet stays free, and wants every country to develop a digital bill of rights so they can keep the web free. He's got a website called web@25.org, where you can find out more about developing a digital bill of rights for your country. So if you're interested in a free internet, a free and open internet, check that out, web@25.org. So that's the end of our news and notes. Let's go into our TV reviews. Almost human. I told you.
Yeah. No, I mean, there was no way they could wrap it up right. I mean, it's so many dangling carrots. So many.
I swear, if they bet it, they need to come with the announcement that it's been renewed, or else I need to go to California and catch me a case.
Uh-oh. Dee
I'm just
Dee.
saying they need to
Dee
get.
Dee. Girl, we
How are
don't
they?
have. The bail fund is two pieces of lint and an old piece of Trident.
They can't just leave us like this. This is some bull. Anyway, you could tell by the scenes that they were the preview they were showing in the next to last episode that the season finale was just going to be another standalone ep, and it was. It answered nothing about In Syndicate.
Nope.
We did not see Nigel Vaughn. We didn't see Anna.
Nope. Matter of fact, we haven't seen Anna, but
In a
at all.
flashback, except
All
in a flashback.
flashbacks. All flashbacks, all season long. I mean.
Anyway, we didn't get any answers about Dorian's hidden memories. None of that. Absolutely zip. Yeah, so they really need to let us know whether this has been renewed or not, because they left too much out there not answered for them to just be like, okay, this is it.
See, I'm not even gonna lie. I watched the episode, and I just sat there afterwards and was like, "This is some real bullshit, man."
I'm like, even I don't care what order you put this in. You don't. This is not a season finale.
If this is a season finale, pretty much either you're guaranteed to have a second season, or you're pretty much tanking your show.
You're pretty much saying F it.
Yeah,
And I'm not seeing any
it was
announcement about
weak.
a renewal.
It was weak. It was weak. So, no. I mean. So, anyway. I mean, I've seen better season finales with, Yeah. Anyway. I just. Yeah.
So, we do get to see Dorian getting a peer review. So, this panel of whoever, I guess, talks to the captain and talks to Rudy, talks to John. We don't see him talk to Stahl or Detective Paul.
No.
But
obviously, it's the people who are closest to Dorian, technically.
Well, they should replace Rudy with
Stahl,
with Paul or anybody, because Rudy should never be a part of anybody's peer review. He just babbles on and just kind of made it a little bit worse.
Yeah, especially with that, you know, if I wanted to have a baby comment, I was like, really?
It's
y'all
like,
really felt the need to put that in there?
Less is more. Less is more, Rudy. Just hush up. If you can't think of something to say, just hush up.
I understand why they put Rudy there, because Rudy's their tech guy, and he's the only one who knows the ins and outs and the nooks and crannies of Dorian's workings. But still.
He would have blurted something out. He was like seconds away from blurting something out about those hidden memories, about glitches in the software, him possibly becoming unstable. He was seconds away from that, so he does not need to be a part of the next one.
Well, you know, Rudy is Rudy, you know.
Anyway, he's got to shut up.
Rudy needs a confidence boost. Maybe maybe he'll work on that next season.
He just needs some duct tape around the mouth. Anyway.
That sounds like a fanfic.
Oh, boy. No. I mean, the way that Dorian was looking at him a couple of times in this episode, he was like, I might have to go against my program and sock him in the jaw, because he was getting so annoyed with Rudy.
Dorian looking up going, did you mess up my peer review?
Do I have to
choke a motherfucker?
I'll do it. I'm going to NASA. So John, the other subplot is John working to clear his dead father's name,
which opens up more holes for things.
Well, he was able to solve that mystery, I guess, and clear his father's name and release a guy who was imprisoned unfairly. I thought that was interesting. You know, the couple of lines that the warden to the prison said while he was showing Dorian and John to Costa's cell. He said that Costa failed his genetic profile when he was a kid, and that put him on a red list of people with psychopathic tendencies. So I'm like, this dude never had a chance. Genetic profiles? Profiles? As a kid? And then you're already put into the system? Like, he was doomed from childhood. And he said that a lot of people here are like that. Uh-huh. A lot of people failed their genetic profiles, were put on red lists, and then, surprise, surprise, they end up in jail.
Yep.
That's scary. They need to do an episode just about genetic profiling, because that would be interesting. See, this show has a lot of really good ideas that can
ideas, but they just aren't, you know, doing what they need to do. And, you know, they didn't start out, I don't know if they start out with a cohesive idea or they just, like, you know, dartboard.
I think it seems like they started out with a good idea, but it just got shuffled around all to hell with the episodes being out of order. I don't think they ordered enough episodes. 13 is not enough episodes for what they were planning to do, because it really seems like they planned on a 24 episode season with the way that they were slowly trying to build things up. I think if you watched all the episodes in their original production order, you would probably see that they were ramping up to something that would be resolved in 22 or 24 episodes. They just didn't get that back nine. Anyway, we've got another printer. We had a chem printer in a couple of episodes ago, and now we've got a full-on organic printer. That's a lot of print going on.
Yeah, you know, come on, the future's so bright.
that's scary. If you got an organic printer, how many people are walking around that are just clones in this universe. That's creepy. Anyway, so or maybe they have maybe there's only very few organic printers, because I would think that that takes a lot of energy and
It should be a
not.
power drain. It should be a real power drain.
Yeah, so maybe there's only a few of them around.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, when organic printers like that. And remember, they said they have fixed it also.
Yeah, that was an old printer, and
Yeah,
that
it
guy
didn't do,
stole it,
and
so.
they didn't do internal organs. Scary thought there. Government printing out clones for their armies. That's all I got to say.
For their android armies.
Not even their android armies, just for their armies. Cloned humans.
Yeah, they need to limit the number of people that have access to those, and they probably cost a buttload of bitcoins too.
And on top, let's not even say government, let's just say corporations, because really that's probably what it is. Let's go into cyberpunk mentality, into cyberpunk Shadowrun mentality, and corporations.
That's
Yeah.
the only people that would have money for that.
Yep.
We got to see Detective Paul be a nice guy, vacation doing him some good. Kennex is still a jerk. He was busting Dorian's balls in the car, talking about, "You scanned my balls. You don't know anything about personal space. You showed me your penis."
He was joking. Yeah, I mean that's supposed to be joking going on between two
Still,
friends.
did you
But
see
you
his
don't do
dance?
that. You
He was
don't do that.
nervous.
Yeah, you don't do that during a review. You don't fuck with your boys during a review. You don't fuck with your friends during a review. That's
If
no.
Dorian had blood, it would all have been drained from his face
Yeah.
while Kennex was sitting there joking with him, because he thought he was serious, and
Yeah.
it's not cool. Anyway, but as a standalone episode, it would have been cute. As a season finale, it just fails.
No, it fails miserably. Miserable. No, just don't even. Actually, I was totally disappointed in the episode and
So they've got to come back. They have to come back and redeem this woefully inadequate season finale. They've just got to. So I'm just gonna be waiting for the announcement, because it's got to happen.
They need a full season
There's no
or
alternative.
right, they need a full 22 episode season to do with all the stuff they've packed into these 13 episodes. I mean, just a meta plot with, what's his face? John Larroquette's character would be great as him as a big bad. Also all the sidelong things into things like, stall, it's too much stuff. There's so much stuff. And it's like they really did a half-assed job of it, and that's very disappointing to me.
I mean, so you can see where they're going. You see the world that they've built, and it's a
Yeah.
very interesting and diverse kind of world,
It's a
as
lush
far as of
world.
ideas and everything like that,
It's a
and
very lush
characters.
world. It's
But they just didn't
quite
have
big.
enough time to carry everything out. They raised a lot of interesting questions that they
Yeah.
didn't have enough time to answer or resolve, so.
It's a perfect world fit for growing crops in. Crops of great writing could be done here, and they're screwing it up. And honestly, next season, they really need to sit down with Fox and be like, you put our shit out of order, I'm gonna put you through a wall. Because that kills a lot of it. I mean,
But they don't really have much leverage, because the ratings haven't, I guess, haven't been
well, the
impressive
ratings are
enough.
crap because between the, haphazard way things have been handled, also the haphazard way Fox needs to learn a lesson. Fox should have learned that lesson before Firefly. That's all I got to say about that. Said it 20 times probably. Fox needs to just back off with that shit.
They didn't tamper with Sleepy Hollow like this. Why the fuck would they do it with Almost Human?
Don't know. Willy-nilly bullshit.
This is so annoying. They left, but Sleepy Hollow had the ratings.
Well, right out the gate, Sleepy Hollow had the ratings.
That's why
I
they
mean,
had a
Sleepy Hollow was
season
renewed
second
and what, third
three
episode was
episode.
renewed, yeah. Yeah. But of course, now we won't talk about Sleepy Hollow because I'm starting to question things about this upcoming season of Sleepy Hollow anyway, based upon, you know, certain writers and certain things. And let's push certain agendas, because if I see a faint witch too much, I'm going to turn a channel. Anyway. But yes, it was a very disappointing episode.
And, so yeah, come back almost human, and cause you've got some splaining to do. You've got some stuff to take care of. So give us a second season, Fox. Stop messing around. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this is all you.
Oh, see, I thought maybe you could jump back on S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, no. Yeah, I know. No, actually, I had a long, well, not a long discussion. I did some back and forth on G+ a few weeks back, and I was like, you know, people were talking, and I'll, you know, learn some facts, maybe. You know, the fact is that, you know, Whedon hasn't really touched the show, which I'm like, well, then he just set the groundwork very hard, and they're sticking with it. But, you know, I decided to go ahead and, like, do the whole, okay, same thing I did with, what was it, the original Tomb Raider movie. Many years ago, I decided to just, you know, go in without, you know, let the rest of the season play out and not be too much of a judgmental prick is what I would think. So I'm kind of putting my judgmental prickdom on the backside for a little bit. How's that? So, yeah, the last two episodes were pretty good. Besides the whole, you know, Sky getting shot twice by Quinn and, so, where you want me to begin, people? I mean, Tahiti, it's a lovely place. You know, it's a magical place. People keep on coming back to life there, supposedly. And it's not really a place. It's actually a bunker, a World War II bunker, supposedly, that was destroyed, but not really, under a mountain. I mean, that was kind of cool. It was a cool little twist. The Tahiti episode was good. It was actually good. Not as good as the one after it, but good. Between the interplay of the characters, watching Coulson get upset. I don't know why I like seeing Coulson get upset sometimes, especially when he's trying to get in touch with Fury, who was not available at all. I kind of think he's dealing with some stuff with Natalia and Cap. I get the feeling that's what that's going to be, since he was totally off-grid. The family claiming their own, because, you know, after he gets Guy to the medevac place and the doctors are working on her for a while and, you know, they're all sitting around talking in the waiting area while Coulson's busy trying to get in touch with Fury. You know, Fritz is like, you know, he shouldn't have let her go in by herself. Simmons is like, really think you could have stopped Sky. Words like, I don't, you know, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. He kind of looks over at Coulson and May's looking at everybody being May. And May's like, you know, none of us are to blame. Person to blame is the person who shot her. Quinn. And the doctor comes out and, you know, is like, you know, we've tried stabilizer. She took two to the abdomen. You know, we had to resect stuff. You need to get her family here. And Coulson's like, what? And, you know, she's like, we've done all we can do. You know, you need to bring her family in. Coulson's like, well, where are her family? And she's like, well, I'm sorry. At which point, May goes off, gets back on the plane, and beats the crap out of Quinn, which I totally approved this ass-whipping. I wanted it to happen. I so was sitting up here cheering her on, because if anybody deserves a good ass-whipping, it's Quinn. And if anybody deserves to give one, it's May. So, there was that. And Coulson decides to go off, you know, off the beaten path, and is like, no, May, get the ship ready. And she's like, why? He's like, look, there are people that brought me back from the dead, so we're going to go find them. And I don't know when he got his file from Fury, because now he knows everything. Fury gave him the full file, and it's a lot of mumble-jumble in it. And even Fritz and Fitz and Simmons couldn't figure out everything. They figured out little bits here and there. So their whole part of the episode was pretty much trying to decipher that. Brought out some new tech. It was interesting tech, and they had to do a paper trail search. Some reason I have a feeling that S.H.I.E.L.D. really shouldn't be keeping all of its memos in one little box that is, you know, the biggest storage, you know, unit in the universe, I think. So, I'm not going to break the whole episode to people. Dee Dee didn't watch the episode. I really think Dee Dee should go watch the episode, but I don't think Dee Dee will because Dee Dee won't do that.
It don't have Sif in it.
Yeah, I know.
Or
but
Mike Peterson.
But it did have, and this is the reason why, it did introduce two new agents to us. Agent John Garrett, who was played by Bill Paxton, who is actually from the Marvel Universe, Agent Garrett. You know, Agent Garrett is similar in a lot of respects to the Deathlok character, in that he, you know, was an old S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and then he ends up being cyborged. Sometimes he goes bad, sometimes he's good, that kind of thing. And Agent Antoine Triplett, also known as Agent Trip, they gave us another brother. And he's a badass, too.
Did they kill him?
No, he did not. He lived, and also, he has medical training, too. So not only is he a badass agent, he also has medical training.
Did they cut up his body and put cyborg parts in it?
Nope. And he went toe-to-toe with Ward.
But so he didn't kill Ward, so because he was in the next episode. So still, I'm finding fault.
Yeah, well, it seems that he has a bit of an interest in Simmons, so you never know.
They're trying to hook Simmons up with all the brothers.
Like, she was coming on. She was eyeballing Mike, too. I was thinking,
whatever, people. Anyway.
Well, you know, they say nerdy people are a little, you know, anyway. We nerds do make good lovers, but anyway.
This is so off tangent. Okay, back to the show.
Hey, we do. You know?
Back to the show. Focus. Good grief.
Yeah, but Simmons was in her element, you know, going through his medical file in that respect, although she couldn't find certain things. Like, it didn't make any sense. It was a red herring, a lot of it. There's a lot of red herrings in the last two episodes, it seems. Coulson and team were ordered to turn over Quinn to for interrogation. Coulson said no, left with, you know, the group and Skye. And they get boarded midair. It was kind of cool watching them get boarded midair. They sent three planes after them. You know, it was that wonderful moment in Coulson saying, you know, all the war and chaos in the world, and they sent two planes after us, and Ward is like, oh, three. All for Ian Quinn. Yeah, no, it was interesting. It was some interesting stuff in this episode. Like I said, the problem is,
did Quinn die
Quinn guy is that Quinn got handed his butt. Not only did May whip him up, but you know, Garrett was supposed to question him, and Garrett, you know, after finding out what happened, you know, Sky being shot, Garrett had lost three agents to Quinn's plots. So he's like, yeah, no, I feel you, Coulson. So he's like, you know, Garrett pulled some strings back on HQ, said, you know, I can question them in Coulson's custody as they're trying to fly to Bethesda, because that's where the record says Coulson was treated. And they were in Zurich, so, you know, halfway around the world kind of thing. The questioning of Quinn by Garrett was very, how to put it, Garrett is definitely more of those Cold War questioners, you know. That fun type of, you know, I'm not going to bother with the waterboarding. I'm just going to, you know, beat you up and, you know, grab you by the tongue mid-speech and tell you about yourself and tell you have no rights, no lawyers. You know, the only thing that's keeping you alive, keeping, you know, Agent Coulson from ejecting you from this plane is the very faint heartbeat of the young agent downstairs. So, yeah, Garrett was interesting. I like Garrett. I like Bill Paxton, so, you know, that works. Not enough for Trip, honestly, but I get the feeling I already know he's going to be in another episode later on in the season, so there's that. Cut to the chase. They get to the bunker, which is a facility. They don't have the password to get in. They take out two people. I hope those two people weren't S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not a S.H.I.E.L.D. faculty, so it's a question. And this is all leading up also to things that are going to happen, and if anybody knows this, I know a lot of you probably do, and comic book fans know about the whole Winter Soldier story arc from the comic book and stuff for that movie. So it's all leading into the lies within lies, faints within faints of S.H.I.E.L.D. and other organizations that came out of how S.H.I.E.L.D. when S.H.I.E.L.D. was created. So inside the faculty, you know, they take out two guys. The place is rigged to explode. They have to go down into it. They get the once, you know, GH-286. Don't remember exact number. Supposedly that thing that helped save, that actually saved Coulson or helped regenerate him. They run that up, and as they're running it upstairs, Coulson's down in the bunker still, and he's like, you know, he finds the Tahiti moniker on the wall, opens the door, goes inside, and he sees a blue creature, humanoid. Half of it's destroyed, but, you know, they're still pumping things out of it. And one of the things they're pumping out of it is the GH-286. A number of the questions for this have been whether it's Kree or not, which gets answered later in the next episode, you know, because there's a lot of blue aliens in the Marvel Universe. And if it was Kree, and they have been pumped with Kree blood, well, that could also lead to the whole Ms. Marvel scenario. Coulson runs back to the plane, tries to stop him from giving to Skye, but Skye flatlined, and they injected her with it, and she starts living again. Her heartbeat kicks in, and she starts healing at a slightly, not super accelerated rate, but accelerated rate. So, question also becomes, you know, the people who know this right now, oh, and this is all a plot of the clairvoyant, by the way, because, you know, the only reason that, you know, he had Ian shoot her was so Coulson could find out what had been done to himself. Because the clairvoyant, the only person clairvoyant can't see with his powers seems to be Coulson when he was dead. So, yeah. Looks like clairvoyant may be looking for some kind of way of immortality along top of knowing everybody's moves. So, yeah. Anyway.
So that was Tahiti. And then the next episode was Yes Men.
Which was a good... I think that was the best episode of the season so far. So you picked, you picked a good episode to watch.
Well, they should have... Maybe they just should have brought Sif in from the beginning.
I can't argue with you on that one.
I mean, the best part of this episode to me was watching Sif and May interact. You know, warrior to warrior. Because all that stuff with Ward... Man, I can't stand Ward. I don't
you
understand.
Really dislike Ward.
They're really trying to make him happen, and there's just nothing to him to make happen.
I don't think they're using him trying to make him happen. I think Ward is just... I'm going to say this. Ward is a bit like a Buffy without the personality.
No, he's totally an angel.
Really? Okay, yeah, season one and two, well, season one, Angel was definitely the I'm just here and brooding and just supposed to tell you these dark secret things and look good, but he really doesn't look good, or doesn't look good.
There's just no personality, there's just nothing that I should give a crap about, and I don't know why May is with him.
You know, that's done.
Good. Because,
yeah, I mean, that was pretty much given at the end, near the end of the episode, that it's pretty much over between them.
Good. I mean, yeah, this I mean, was a waste of time.
Not good per se. I mean, not really good, considering what it's, you know, okay, let's go ahead and talk about this episode. So,
she's just wasting awesome on her, on that dude. Don't waste your awesome.
That, but still, the way the writers are going with who he actually has a thing for, it's going to make it worse. So,
but yeah. Skye, don't tell me Skye.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Especially that's after disgusting. She got shot and the way he was all like, you know, worry.
He's her mentor. Don't do
it. Yeah, it's been known to happen. Handlers and agents have fallen for each other before. It's pretty much a classic love story in a lot of, you know, spy novels. So nothing new there. Hell, it's happened in S.H.I.E.L.D. before in the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic books. Nick Fury, I'm pretty sure, has had sex with a number of his agents. White Nick Fury. I don't think Brother Nick Fury dips that way because he's smart. At least I hope he is.
And he's black, so they wouldn't hook him up with anybody at all. Anyway, so...
I don't know. But, well, no, that's not true. Cause, well, no. Well, Nick Fury Jr., on the other hand, who is black, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say something. I forgot. Darn it. Anyway, go ahead.
But no, the Yes Men episode was, yeah, my favorite so far.
I also introduced this character Lorelei, another Asgardian, I guess, who's related to the sorceress.
She is the Enchantress's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which was another great thing because, like, you know, I do like seeing stuff from the comic book. That's actually one of the other reasons I keep on watching the show is because how much of the stuff they can introduce from the different medias, you know, how much stuff they can pull from the comic book, how much stuff they can pull from the movies, you know, random bits here. So, yeah, so Lorelei and her powers were always interesting with the whole, you know, I can control men with a whim.
But just men, I don't understand how...
It works because she, if I remember in the comic book correctly, okay, comic books, Asgardians, gods. I believe she is supposed to be maybe lust. I can't remember. And it only works with men for whatever reason. She chose men. I don't know. Men are weak.
But that's also assuming that all men are straight.
True.
And all women are straight.
It's true. And it probably works better for the whole, you know, it would be nice to see it played off as, you know, if, you know, she tried to be working on a gay man and it didn't work. And, you know, instead, you know, a lesbian woman totally fell in her thrall. Who knows? It would work better, I think, if it were like that.
And it, I mean, if she's looking for people who are leaders of men and stuff like that, I mean, not all of them are men.
Nope. So, yes, it's a kickback to the old sexist days, patriarchy.
So, yeah, I didn't like that part of it. Also, could have been a good way to, you know, have some stuff going on with May. But instead of Ward.
Oh, no, it worked better with Ward. No, it did. I think it worked better with Ward. Because let's be honest. As much as you dislike Ward, Ward is kind of a blah character, so it worked better. And also seeing Fitz under her control was interesting.
I'm telling you, this group of agents is the worst. They keep fucking up. I can't believe that these people have given them authority over anything because they're not ready.
It's Coulson in May. Coulson and May have authority over stuff. May and Coulson have been around long enough. And then after that, it's like Ward, if you remember from the first episodes, Ward was a solo agent. He doesn't work well in teams. And Fritz and Simmons, I think, are pretty much fresh out of the academy.
I wouldn't trust this group of agents with anything. May and Coulson, maybe. But these little children, no.
And Simmons are just supposed to be tech support, but you know how that goes for you. I trust Ward to do assassinations.
I don't think Fury should have trusted. Fury should look at all their dossiers and be like, "Nope, Coulson, get another group. These folks ain't gonna cut it."
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, maybe it'll be some switch up. It'd be interesting because I would like to see. I still would like to see influx of you know, some influx of some different personalities and some color.
Also,
but like I said, I'm liking the show. I have to put my, you know, I have to suspend my, you know, super prickdom and put it on the back burner for a bit because it's getting prickly for me at times.
But at the end of the episode, they finally capture Lorelei before she tries to take over the world. And she brings her back to Asgard, saying that, you know, it's, you know, on Odin's orders.
Yeah.
That anybody who's seen Thor the Dark World knows that Odin ain't on the throne no more. I don't know where Odin is. He's not on the throne. Loki is.
Yeah,
so basically what... So
the,
basically
was that
what,
order issued before he got on the throne or after he got on the throne? So, yeah.
Well, if you're going by, like I said, if you're going by Thor the Dark World, then I'm assuming that this is Loki or Odin giving the order to bring Lorelei back so he and Lorelei and Enchantress and all of them can just put some shit up on Asgard.
Which is a standard Loki procedure power in the comic books.
So
Loki's getting his ducks in a row. He's getting them ducks in a row.
So I guess Lorelei didn't get the memo that you need to stay up in Asgard so we can
fuck
shit up.
Well, Lorelei was freed because of stuff in the second Thor movie, actually. she was free from when whatever went to
the
rescue
dark.
Yeah, rescue Loki from the prison when they blew up the prison. That's how she got out.
Well, the Dark Elves weren't really working with Loki at all. The Dark Elves were on their own agenda to get something that was, there was some sort of cosmic power that somehow got into Jane Foster in the second movie. And they were trying to get Jane so they could get that power out of her and back to their, you know, back so it could remain with the Dark Elves. But so they stormed, you know, Asgard, trying to get to Jane, and you know, people, you know, Loki was in prison, so he wasn't, you know, doing shit. He was sitting there reading a book while the Dark Elves were like fighting all of Asgard soldiers. He did not give a fuck. So maybe she got out during all that melee.
She did.
But anyway, I guess.
But Lorelai is, you know, you think about it. Yes, her power is pretty powerful. So it is dangerous to have that running around. So, and yes, Loki's getting his ducks in order, definitely. You know, so I get the feeling that the third Thor movie will probably be Asgard centric. And hopefully it will be I hope the combat is really good, because I hope there's a lot more Sif. Because honestly, watching Sif in this episode was really good. I liked watching her fight.
Yeah, I missed her in the second movie. I think she got injured during the battle scenes that were early in the movie, and I think they had to rewrite because there was supposed to be a subplot with, or a love triangle between her, Thor, and Foster that had to be written out because she was injured. So
okay, well, if they wrote that out, that makes sense, because that is how it's always been in the comic book, because Sif is supposed to be Thor's wife. And
they mentioned that in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, that's another thing. Like, when Lorelai and her were fighting and she was talking about all the things in the past, like, you know, her coming between her and Thor, you know, using her powers on Thor, which is a total throwback to the comic books, because that's what Loki did. Loki pretty much had Lorelai, you know, go, you know, charm Thor and, you know, break up their relationship, cause strife between them. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of it's playing out. So, but yeah, the fight sequences in this episode were really good. I mean, watch it. And the Sif pushing the car to block them. Oh my God. It's like, come on. You guys need an Asgardian on a team. You guys need an Asgardian on a team.
Run it. Yeah. She could replace all of those jokers.
She could. Between her. Well, no, because her tactical knowledge is great. But the fact is, not knowing modern knowledge. That's the problem.
No, you saw that scene in that room where they have all those computer screens.
Yeah, she knows how to use the interface and all that, but I would say technical knowledge. I would mean modern knowledge of you can't just run around Midgard and kicking doors down without, you know, writs and procedures, and you just can't be beating up everybody willy-nilly. There's a habit of Asgardians doing that.
Well, they're above human law. They're above...
And that would cause a problem too, right there. See?
Well, there's nothing that we could do about it. Anyway, it would be awesome. I would love to see, you know, a show with just May and Sif, and maybe a little bit of Coulson. That would be a good show.
Yeah, and maybe even a little Sky. I'm starting to like Sky a little more.
I don't like any of those little.
I think it's also because Sky is more on the Mike Peterson, save Mike Peterson kick than everybody else is. Because Project Deathlok is on the radar for S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like a top priority for S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Ward doesn't even get it. Ward was like, Peterson could have protected you.
Well,
he doesn't know.
They don't understand, and nobody knows. Nobody knows that he's under control.
Exactly. And the reason why Ward was like, oh, he didn't look at you. That was protecting her. If he looked at Sky, it would have been picked up by that.
He did look at her, but he didn't look at her long, and he knew his goals. Also, if you look back at the episode, the prime thing is wound Sky, make Coulson go find out what happened, so later on the clairvoyant can get that knowledge. That's
whatever.
All
this is what I'm saying. He did protect her. He protected her from being known from the clairvoyant or whoever he's working for to pick up that Skye was there and that she was a threat. He protected her because he could have killed her himself, or if the clairvoyant had saw her, they would have given him orders to kill her.
I don't think so. I don't think clairvoyant wanted her dead. The clairvoyant has his own game. The clairvoyant's game is meta game.
But he wouldn't. I mean, she could have just been collateral damage. He might not. The clairvoyant, he, she, whatever, might not have cared.
I think the clairvoyant is how. I think the clairvoyant is using a scalpel, whereas some people want to use an axe. Literally, that's why. Also, on top of that, he only really wanted Mike to take out the people who were screwed up and led Shield to him. He was cutting his ends. The only person he left alive was Quinn. And what happened to Quinn? Quinn ends up getting questioned. I got the feeling also that the clairvoyant's also stacking his ducks, or their ducks, because Quinn's now going to end up in the fridge, where Ruth Negga's character probably is. You know, there's just too many of their high-level operatives already in their prison now.
I want to see Quinn with some cyborg parts then.
Yeah. Or in the end.
Give him a robot eye and a robot leg. See what his ass is.
For all we know, Quinn may already have one of the chips and an eye in him, and they just don't know. You know, who knows? I don't know. I mean, I don't know why Ruth Negga's character... I mean, if I was the clairvoyant, I probably would outfit all my people like that for control aspects. Or maybe their loyalty doesn't need that. Who knows? I think the clairvoyant is definitely... I mean, one of the theories is that the clairvoyant is somebody you really like.
Loki.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like Loki. I like the actor that plays him. But the... either way, Ward was full of it. He needs to shut up. He doesn't know the half. Shut up.
Well, he's so biased against Peterson for some reason. I think it's also because Ward is supposed to be a black and white character. He's not gray. He's black and white, and he's a company man. That's the problem. He's one of those company people. You know, he follows orders. He does the job. That's it. There's not really any deviation from Ward, and he's cardboard in that respect. Unlike Coulson. Coulson will break rules. Coulson will go around things. Coulson will think.
He's totally gray.
Yeah, but also on top of that, it's like May said in that episode. You know, people like you and me. When she was talking to Ward, when Ward was questioning during the Tahiti episode, you know, about this whole thing of flying halfway across the world, she was like, "We need people like Coulson because they will do everything in their power to keep people like us alive."
May needs to stop talking to Ward like he is on her level, because she is just as gray as Coulson. You saw at the end of the episode, who is she talking to?
Faints like I said, people talk about this. I swear, so many people, like even today, I was looking at something on Tumblr before we were recording, and people were talking about how, like, you know, how S.H.I.E.L.D. came about and all that. I'm like, y'all don't know, Jack. Y'all don't know. S.H.I.E.L.D. is not no white knight, you know, guardian that you all think. It came out of much worse, and it ain't always been always the white knight it's supposed to be. So.
Anyway, so who is May talking to? She's probably either talking to Fury.
No.
Or Maria Hill.
Probably, yeah, somebody directly under Fury who can get in contact with Fury, which would probably be Maria. Because, or somebody else. Supposition is that it was, Robert Redford's character in the upcoming Winter Soldier, who is somebody pretty high up in S.H.I.E.L.D., slightly higher than Fury, maybe? And maybe him? So this episode was a real good tie-in to that, because, like I said, the Faints Within Faints, there's so much back-end stuff, there's so much, like, you know, you level 7s and below, know this, and this. Level 8s, know plus that. And level 9s and up. I mean, level 10 is probably the highest in S.H.I.E.L.D. And Fury is the only level 10 they talk about so far.
So May is not just some dumb cardboard fighter.
No, she's been playing.
She's like a double agent.
Yeah.
And she's probably has been all of this time.
Yes.
But she has Coulson's trust. Coulson trusts her.
Now, the bad thing I have with that is that it's going back. You know it's going to have to backfire, and it's going to cause a schism. And I don't know how I feel about that. But
yeah, May's going to end up getting, once people find out, May's going to get, she's going to get backhanded. It's not going to be ugly, because as much as people want to tout the feminism in these Whedon stories and the women who are behind the writing. I mean, what's her name? Tancheron, Jeb Whedon's wife, writes the show as well. May, I just feel like May's going to get punished for this, like really punitively. It's not going to be pretty.
Hopefully it's not as bad as certain people's pregnancies were in other shows. Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, she's the only character that's worth watching on this show, and for her to get a beat down or a smackdown as far as the writing that you know is coming, I'm not looking forward to that, because if Coulson like shuts her out, I mean, that's it.
I mean, I'm all for Coulson and Skye trying to find out what the hell they got put in their systems. I mean, it could be Kree, although it says it's probably not. Because actually, another thing, see me watching the show makes me watch other things now. What somebody pointed out was that when Sif and Coulson were talking about blue skin aliens, you know, he was like, well, how many blue skin aliens are there, kind of thing. And, you know, Sif went down the list, but she's like, the only one we know for sure that's ever come here were the Frost Giants. Because they tried to take over 1,000 years ago or something like that, or millennia ago. So it could be a Frost Giant. Somehow they captured a Frost Giant. I mean, and also the aspect of supposedly when Coulson got ejected with the compound, that's what drove him into wanting to die and all that stuff. And it was an adverse reaction, where Skye didn't have that adverse reaction.
Because she's already...
She's already something else.
Yeah.
That's the thing. She's already something else. What could it be? Who knows? We're all, you know, some people are you know, speculating that she may be part Frost Giant. You know, wouldn't be the first Frost Giant that looks human, i.e. Loki. But, you know, who knows?
But wouldn't it be more interesting if it were a Kree?
It would be way more interesting if it were a Kree. If it was Kree, the problem is, from what I understand, is that they can't use Kree for some reason, legally. Another problem with Marvel selling off its rights years ago.
So are Krees the same as Skrulls, or are they different?
Kree and Skrulls are different. They actually war against each other. Skrulls are shapeshifters. Krees, there are two types of Krees. There's the blue skin Kree, and then there's the white skin Kree, or something like that. And it's been too many years. The Kree thing, though, leads to the whole Ms. Marvel storyline, because that's how she ended up with her powers. Originally, it was she got a blood transfusion from, I think it was maybe Captain Marvel or someone else. And that's how she ended up developing powers. Now they changed that I was reading up on it. They've kind of changed the storyline a bit, her origin story. So, but yeah, so who knows? If Skye starts developing some weird powers, or some weird shit happens, it'd be more interesting, I think.
They'll probably do it around episode 20.
Yeah. Season finale kind of build up.
String us along.
Yeah. If she ends up with telekinesis and telepathy, though, I'm going to call foul, because I'm just tired of that combo being foisted on certain people. Anyway.
If she's secretly some hero, some really well-known hero or something like that, if they try to pull an arrow on us, I'll be mad.
Hopefully they won't. Anyway. I mean, if they try to pull a mini Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers storyline, it'd be interesting, but they probably won't do that. They need to save Carol Danvers, Captain Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel for movies, because she is, in my book, one of the top superheroines they should probably do a movie on. Seriously, they should. I mean, she's pretty much got the Superman power combos.
Nah.
She was a secret agent also. So before she got her power, she was a secret agent. She used to run with Wolverine you know, and other, like, secret agent types. So, it's one of those things. She was an ass-whipper before she got the powers. Kind of a little bit like Black Widow, actually. Matter of fact, her and Black Widow went toe-to-toe a number of times. When they were just secret agents.
So that's enough. I think we talked more about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than we ever have in the history of this damn podcast.
And the lightning bolt comes down and the world is ending because Dee Dee actually talked about a show that she doesn't like.
She doesn't like this show.
I'm going to get you a award for
Christmas. This show is so damn irritating.
It can be. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
That's enough. That's enough, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not.
But it's awesome. It's, like, really awesome.
Is it? I used to look at the old one when I was young.
Yeah, and but this time around, it's hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's executive produced by Seth MacFarlane, so he's got some little animated bits in there and that he voices, and also Phil Lamar voiced some of the animated bits.
Time out. Seth MacFarlane doing something good, mm-hmm. not his normal, you know, Family Guy, American Dad.
I mean, people have criticized the some of the animation on there, but, you know, it didn't take away too much from the story to me. Anyway, this show is awesome. This show has amazing visuals of the entire planet, and Tyson is a great teacher. He's very good at communicating things in a way that's somewhat easy to understand. I mean, just the universe is so amazingly vast, and he manages to sort of, you know, try to help you hold it in your hands and, you know, see it and sort of understand it.
Good.
Some of the things that he talks about in this first episode were he gives us our cosmic address that has, like, five lines to it. The first line is Earth. Mm-hmm. The second line is Solar System. Mm-hmm. The third line is Milky Way Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth line is the Virgo Supercluster, mm-hmm. as we are part of the observed universe. So our full address is Earth, Solar System, Milky Way Galaxy, Virgo Supercluster, Observed Universe. So if anybody asks you, what's your cosmic address, if you meet a Kree or a frost giant.
But that doesn't make sense to me, because the solar system, what is the name of our solar system? We don't have a name to our solar system.
So, I'm just telling you what I remember of the show.
Okay, I'm pretty sure people from other universes have a name for our solar system. It's probably called Avoid That Place.
Anyway, the cosmic calendar, he also introduces this idea of a cosmic calendar to help you understand how much time has gone into creating this universe that we are a part of. And he said that it's taken like 13.8 billion years for this cosmos to develop, starting with the Big Bang. And he uses this idea of a cosmic calendar where you condense 13.8 billion years into one calendar year. So, like, in January, the Big Bang happened. And then on down the line, and then what we know of as recorded history started around December 30th or 31st in the cosmic calendar. And, you know, 5 seconds ago, in the cosmic calendar, Jesus was born, and 3 seconds ago, Muhammad was born, and all this other stuff. So that was like hundreds of years ago, AD or whatever. Mm-hmm. So these are really huge, like, mind-blowing ideas that he's kind of fit into something that's easily digestible for people who aren't like science, who aren't science nerds or whatever. And At the end, you see that he talks about the first time that he met Carl Sagan when he was 17 years old. So it's kind of fitting that, Tyson's doing this show now, because Sagan was the person that inspired him to be a scientist. So that was just a really kind of warm and fuzzy way to end it. But the visuals on this show are just amazing. Like, I had to repeat some stuff, scroll back and watch some stuff, because I was, I missed what he was trying to say, because I was just looking at these wonderful visuals of Jupiter and Mercury and all these different planets and stuff. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. So if you can check out Cosmos, Space Time Odyssey, it comes on Sundays, I want to say 9 p.m. No, 10.
I'll
not
be looking at
no,
online, so.
10 p.m. on Fox, and it also comes, they also repeat it on National Geographic Channel if you get that. So it's definitely worth watching. I hope that a lot of nerds watch and write awesome science fiction based off of this, because I just there are so many cool ideas, pinging around that, I mean, certainly some of them have to stick and be like, okay, what if, blah blah blah, and go on from there. So definitely check out that show. And that's about it. I think I covered everything to do with Arrow in the last ep. You need more Diggle. You need more shirtless Diggle. And that's it. So, once again, if you want to contact us, if you want to, bemoan the lack of shirtless Diggle in the last episode of Arrow, you can contact us at a-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com. Facebook.com/bleakoutlook, at a bleak outlook on Twitter, and on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So that's it, you guys. Enjoy some awesome genre media, hopefully with cool people of color as characters, and we'll talk to you next time.